Welcome to the Sunday Morning Meeting podcast from Kingdom Faith Yorkshire. Today's message is by Brian Ward.
Hallelujah. Wow. Isn't that fantastic? Just to get into God's presence like that and just to worship Him and glorify Him. You know, I never get fed up of singing carols like that, you know, O Come All Ye Faithful. Because we are the faithful, aren't we?
Yeah.
Are we the faithful?
Yes.
Yeah. I'm glad there's a few in the house that are faithful. No, we're all faithful. We're all faithful, aren't we? And it's tremendous that this morning I hadn't realised there's no children's work, but I realised Nick and the team need time off as well. But it's great to have the kids with us because it is family, you know, it's about generations. You know, we're talking about four generations. And as it is for Billy and the younger ones that are with us today, you know, even as young as Joshua and even Samuel, he's with us as well. You know, from that age group upwards, you know, God has got a plan and a purpose for our lives.
That's right.
Yeah. Let's move this out of the way so I don't fall over it. It'd be a good start, wouldn't it? And it was really 2 weeks ago when... I've got plenty of warning, actually, to speak for today, which makes a change. Normally it's a day before or a couple of days, but 2 weeks gives you plenty of time to think of what God wants to speak to us about. And it's always a privilege to be able to speak on the first Sunday of the new year. And I really give God glory and thanks for that. And it was 2 weeks ago when we were having the church service up at the library, you know, the Christmas one that we did, and Adrian played a fantastic role as Joseph. And we're sort of discussing that the meaning of Christmas really is Easter. You know, that without Christmas, there'd be no Easter. And the song or the carol we were singing this morning, when Sharon and I went for a coffee afterwards, and it was this particular carol, A Come All Ye Faithful, it really spoke to Shona. And really, she should be up here doing this talk, really. But we bounced ideas off each other when we went for this coffee and roasters after the service. And God was just writing like mad of what God was wanting to say this morning. But I will keep it short with it being a family service. So I'll only take an hour and a half rather than the 2.5 hours. But it's like the words really that I spoke to Shona. Just come up, Shona. And I'll sit down. And just really say what it was that God placed on your heart on that Sunday morning when we were singing that song, that carol, O Come All Ye Faithful.
Okay, well, we were singing it, and there's the verse that we sung there, Lo, He abhors not the virgin's womb. This Holy Spirit just really started speaking to me about what that meant, and that really, you know, Jesus was the King of Kings. He came from heaven where, you know, it was just so glorious, you can't really describe it. And yet, in order for God's plan of salvation to come to us, He had to come to a virgin's womb. And it was just like, it just really hit me that, you know, like we find ourselves in all sorts of different circumstances. And God wants to bring His salvation. I mean, we hear loads and loads about how God wants to bring revival, how He wants to bring us a real move of God on this earth. And He says, and what He was saying was, well, I've placed you all here and you're all in different circumstances. And really, don't abhor the circumstances that you find yourselves in, because those are the circumstances that I've engineered, if you like. I've called into being. I've had a plan all along for. And those are the circumstances that are going to bring salvation to this nation, to your friends, to your work colleagues, you know, to people that are just acquaintances at the minute, to maybe even to people that you just see in a coffee shop or bump into a gym that you go to, anything. You know, He was just sort of like saying, well, just don't abhor the circumstances that you find yourself in. And it just really spoke to me in a sense, because... when we were at Bible college a long time ago, not in Bethlehem, but we found ourselves in a set of circumstances that, looking back, it was like, yeah, I didn't like them. For me, I kind of like Well, I did abhor them. I didn't want those circumstances. I feared the consequences of actually staying in those circumstances, and I couldn't see God's plan of what he was trying to do in and through those circumstances. So for us, in a sense, we kind of like thought, oh, we don't like this, and we never got to see what might have happened if we'd stayed in those circumstances. But I mean, God is gracious. God is so full of mercy that he didn't say, oh, well, that's you lot, bunch of them. You know, you've just ruined that plan, haven't you? You know, because his ways are higher than our ways. So, you know, he just led us a different way. And now we're here and we're walking into a new set of circumstances. And God was just saying, well, just don't abhor those circumstances. Just don't let those circumstances rob you of your inheritance, because you've got a great inheritance, and that inheritance is available here freely now, wherever you are in whatever circumstances you are. So, you know, maybe some of the circumstances that you find yourself in are maybe like your virgin's womb, as it were, but God has got a great plan of salvation through that. So that's what he was saying. So.
Right, it's time for coffee then. That's tremendous, isn't it? It's just tremendous, I think, you know, how God speaks to each of us through different things. And it's really that I want to take hold of. Let's look in Luke's Gospel, and let's just have a look at some of the characters that were around. You know, the story is so... We know the story so well, most of us. And yet there's a lot of people out there that don't know the story about the birth of Christ and what it means and why it's so important for the Christian faith and for us today. So let's look in Luke's Gospel, chapter 2. And reading from verse 26. And it says, when Elizabeth had been pregnant for 6 months, God sent his angel Gabriel to a town in Galilee called Nazareth. There he appeared to a virgin named Mary, who was to be married to a descendant of David called Joseph. Greetings, he said to her. You are favored by God, and he is with you. I remember last Sunday, Pastor Chris was speaking about Emmanuel, God with us. You know, it's not us with God, but it's God that's come. You know, he's with us. He's coming to us. He's with us, our lives. And this is a favor that he had on Mary. He said to her, you are favored by God, and he is with you. These words disturbed Mary greatly, for she could not understand what they meant. But the angel assured her, there is no need to fear, Mary, for God is pleased with you. You are to become pregnant and will give birth to a son, who you are to call Jesus. He will be great and will become known as the Son of the Most High God, who will place him on the throne of his ancestor David. His reign over Israel will be eternal, and his kingdom will never end. Praise God, we live in a kingdom that will never end. How could such a thing happen? Mary asked the angel. I am still a virgin. He replied, the Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High God will overshadow you. So the child you bear will be holy and called the Son of God. Your relative Elizabeth is already 6 months pregnant despite her age and her former inability to bear children. For nothing is impossible for God.
Amen.
Mary answered, I am the Lord's servant, so I submit willingly to what you have said. Then the angel left her. She submitted willingly to the things that God had spoken into her life. Even though she was feared, even though she had this, you know, this angel came to speak to her. I've never had a real angel come to speak to me in that sense. I mean, I'm open to it, Lord, you know. If that's, I'm hoping I'll hear by the Holy Spirit without having to have the angel. But God decided to use the angel Gabriel at this point to come and speak to Mary. Something out of the extraordinary. Yes. Not the ordinary, but something out of the extraordinary. And Mary's answer was, I am the Lord's servant, so I submit willingly to what you have said. And although there was that fear there, she was still willing to hear what the angel had said and what she was going to receive and what she was going to do. And imagine her circumstances then. I mean, a woman that was pregnant without out of wedlock. I mean, for Joseph and Mary then, it was quite a, you know, he was probably banging his head against the brick wall thinking, what is going on? And yet it was something that God was doing in Mary. He was doing his miracle within Mary, although she wasn't even married. And how does that stand for us today? Well, we'll have a look at that in a minute. But therefore, with Mary, therefore, she was willing. She was open to what the angel was saying. She submitted willingly to what he said, and the angel left her. Let's have a look at Joseph's circumstances. Let's have a look in Matthew's Gospel. Matthew chapter 1. I'm reading from verse 18. Now this is how the birth of Jesus took place. His mother Mary was engaged to Joseph, but before they married, they had no sexual union. Mary became pregnant through the activity of the Holy Spirit. Being a righteous man, Joseph did not want Mary to be disgraced publicly, so he thought about releasing her quietly from her commitment to him. He was looking for a way out of thinking, hang on a minute, you know, I don't want to disgrace Mary. You know, we've not had, you know, we've not been married, we've not come together having sex, and we, you know, she's pregnant, and what's everybody going to say about it? But he's wanting not for any disgrace to come upon Mary, but just for it to disappear and say things, well, things maybe haven't worked out. But after thinking about this, Joseph had a dream in which an angel from the Lord appeared to him and said, Joseph, son of David, there is nothing for you to fear. Take Mary home as your wife because she has conceived through the power of the Holy Spirit. She will have a son whom you are to call Jesus because he will save the people from their sins. All this happened to fulfill what the Lord had spoken prophetically. The virgin will become pregnant and will bear a son who will be called Emmanuel, meaning God is with us. When Joseph awoke, he obeyed. See, there's a believing on Mary's part. There's an obedience from Joseph's part. And as they obey and believe in what God is saying to them, then God is able to do the miracle within their circumstances that they find themselves. Lo, he abhors, not the virgin's womb. But out of that virgin's womb came a miracle for both Mary, for Joseph, and for the world.
Amen. Yes.
Through believing, through having that faith of belief, through believing and obeying. Always remember doing the Way of the Spirit course when we were at Bible college, and every question seemed to be obedience and faith. Faith and obedience seemed to be the answer to all the questions. But when you looked at it, there's more to that, you know, in it. But that's what sort of came out, was this walk of faith and obedience. And it's true for us today. We need to be walking in that place of faith and obedience. We walk out of that place of relationship, as Pastor Paul's been speaking over the last few weeks, about that place of intimacy, that place of relationship that we have with God. That as we walk out of that, don't let our circumstances fear us. That's the first thing that seems to come upon us, isn't it? Is when we get into a difficult situation or circumstances come upon us, there's that spirit of fear sometimes that comes upon each of us. And that's the natural. You know, there's nothing wrong with that. That's the natural within the world that we are today. And when I was looking back, I was sort of flicking through the channels that you do at Christmas sometimes, and it always seems to be the old films that come on, you know, it's like Mary Poppins or Sound of Music, or and now they're getting a bit more modern, you know, they're showing films from the 80s rather than... But there's very rarely something brand new that's being shown over the Christmas period. It's always something that's gone on in the past or something from, you know, something from before. And the other programs that they have are the 500 best songs from the 70s, or, you know, from the 70s to now, you know, the favorite Christmas song that ever was. Or and you watch about 3 hours of TV just to find out which you already knew anyway was the favorite song of the, you know, 30 years or something. And these are the sort of programs they show, is these, you know, things like, you know, the worst advert since, you know, Mary Poppins or something. you know, these are the things that they're putting on. But for us, it's not we're not in a place to live in the past. We're serving a God who's a God of miracles, not of yesteryear, but of today. Yes. And we don't live in the miracles of yesterday, but we live in the miracles for today. Yes. And it says we walk in that place of faith. It says as we walk in that place of obedience and that relationship we have with God, that we, you know, we don't abhor our circumstances, but we allow God to do the miracle through us that's going to touch our lives and the lives around us, as it was with Jesus Christ as he was born to Mary. That wasn't just her life and Joseph's life that they touched, but it was a whole world that Jesus has touched. And so it is that, you know, we look back, we can look back on situations, but we don't live in the past, if you know what I mean. We can remember things. There's some good things and some maybe not so good things, bad things. But we, you know, we can remember these things of the past, but we live for today. We live for tomorrow. You know, we live for, you know, what God has got for us, you know, this year, not of yesteryear. And God is really great. You know, it's, let's have a look at some of the, another couple of the characters that were around during that time. Let's have a look at Matthew 2 again and verse 1. Matthew chapter 2 and verse 1, and it says, Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea during the time of King Herod. Wise men came to Jerusalem from the east, asking, where has the King of the Jews been born? We followed a star from the east and have come to worship him. This disturbed King Herod and those in authority in Jerusalem. So Herod called together the chief priests and teachers of the law, asking them where the Messiah, the Christ, was to be born. In Bethlehem, in Judea, they told him. For the prophets predicted, you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are not the least in importance among the places of Judah. For from you will come a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel. Then Herod contacted the wise men secretly to find out when exactly the star had appeared to them. He then sent them to Bethlehem with these instructions. Go and search carefully for the child. When you find him, report to me so that I also may come and worship him. They went as the king ordered, following the star they had seen in the east until it reached the place where the child lay. They were overjoyed to have the star to guide them. When they entered the house, they saw the child with Mary, his mother, and they bowed before him in worship. Then they presented the gifts they had brought, gold, incense, and myrrh. However, they were warned in a dream not to return to Herod, and so they made their way back to their own country by another route. Even Jesus, even God for today, our Lord and Savior for today, he touches those that are coming to Scarborough who might be foreigners to this part of the country. He's calling in different people. It's not just those that are living local, but he's calling also people in from outside to build his church in this area, to build his church, to see his kingdom extended. And so it is, as the wise men went forward, they went following this star that God had given them as a sign, and they were able to come and worship the Christ that they wanted to. And again, God appeared to them in a dream, saying, well, don't go back to Herod, because the plans that he has are not my plans. And so they went a different way back to their own country. So it's for foreigners as well that are living in our place. God is calling foreigners in, if you like. Let's not abhor our circumstances. If God is calling us into a place, then let's stand together. You know, God has placed us upon a rock. He says, my plans I have for you, plans to prosper you, not to harm you. And these are the plans that we're living for today, for each of us. And it's, it doesn't matter what circumstances we find ourselves in, God is far greater than our circumstances. He always turns up in a different way than what we expect. He always manages to work through our circumstances. And you know, when we look back on places that we've come from, you know, we can see the hand of God where he's had it upon us, you know, and where he's opened up the way, or where he's supplied his provision, or where he's healed us. I remember Kate... When she was going through last year with a cancer, and she knew she had a healing, and whether she had that miraculous healing straight away or whether she had to go through the treatment. But what she found was that it didn't rob her, the circumstances she was in didn't rob her of her inheritance, because she said she had a great peace. She was at peace with God. And that is so important, that we don't lose our peace. It's so important that we don't lose our inheritance for today. It's not just a crown of glory that's to come, but it's the crowns that God wants to give us whilst we're here on earth. I remember just from a personal, I mean, we should be coming really to each other to encourage one another with our testimonies. You know, we want to see God working miracles in our lives daily. It might not be the big ones. It could just be the small miracle. Yes. But it's something to encourage us. You know, and when Sharon and I moved down here, we were financially, credit cards were up the yin-yang and all sorts. Spent out on them. And before moving down here, I'd really sought God on my face. And I said, look, Lord, I surrender everything to you. And he says, well, what about your finances? And I says, yes, Lord, even the finances. And when we moved down here, I was in a place of thinking, well, God, if I want to follow you 100%, part of that is my finances and the trouble that we're in with them. And so it was that I spoke to Pastor Paul and I think Pastor Martin at the time when he was here. And we explained our situation, and they said, well, what are you going to do about it? And I said, well, I've already put something in place. I've gone to a company called Christians Against Poverty. And God sees your heart, you know. It's not your circumstances, but God sees where you are with him. You know, if you're wanting to obey him and follow him and just trust in him, then he opens up the way for us. And so we started with Christians Against Poverty, or 2 years this coming February, I'm not sure. And so they've set up a program now where we're able to pay our creditors back. You know, it's not a program where you don't pay anything, but you pay your creditors back at a rate that you can afford, and they budget you, they give you a budget, and you're able to just live. Things are tight at times, but it's great that to see God's provision coming into our lives, even in a time when we're paying back our creditors at this point, that he's never seen us short of a meal on the table or able to go out for a coffee in a coffee shop. And was it 4 or 5 weeks ago, we had an offering for the building, I think, for the building offering. And we'd already placed some money in previous to that. And when Pastor Paul was saying about this building offering, I was thinking, well, Lord, you know, what is it you'd like us to give? And this figure of £500 came into my head. And I was sort of trying to dismiss this, you know. I think, Lord, what does he want us to give? He says, £500. I'm thinking, wow. And I sort of started to chew my knuckles a bit. And I went back and I was speaking to Shona. I said, this building offering that we're taking up, God's saying to me, you know, about £500. And Shona goes, okay then. Okay. And I said to the Lord, look, Lord, if you're saying £500, then you've got to come up with a provision for that, because we didn't have £500 to put in. And so it was on the Monday morning, and I've gone to work, and I was quite at peace about it, actually. And I thought, okay, fair enough. I know what it was, yeah, the £500. So it came to the Sunday morning of the offering, and I still didn't have the money to put in. So I thought, well, if I write out an IOU and I can pay so much a month over 12 months, that'll be my £500. And God's saying, hang on a minute, are you trusting me or your way of paying it? I'm like, okay, Lord, okay. So I just put this IOU in of £500 into the offering basket. This is on the Sunday morning. And so the Monday night, I came home from work, and there's this letter from the Inland Revenue. And I opened it up, and it says, dear Mr. Ward, we've realised in the year 2008-2009, you underpaid us by £600. I'm like, what? I'm like, dear me, not just £500, I've got to find this, there's £600 as well. So there's this £1,100 bill I've got, you know. And I was going back through my pay statements, you know, to 2008 and 2009 to see where the mistake had been made. And the Inland Revenue had sort of like changed my tax code about 3 times over as many months of when I moved down here to start up with my job at Scarborough Power. And as I was going through, I thought, hang on a minute, I was promoted in the March of last year. And I looked back and I noticed my pay statements was reading the same pay amount as I was getting, you know, back then as I was now. I thought, oh, hang on a minute, this is strange. So when I saw my boss, and he said, well, leave the, you know, give us your letter from the Inland Revenue and we'll see if it's our mistake, and if so, we'll pay your tax off you. And I said, well, there's also this this underpayment. You haven't been paying me full salary since March. And I said, oh, haven't we? Let's have a look. So as it was, I got my salary sorted out, and it's £1,200. So that covered the tax bill and the £500 to put in to the offering. So it's and that happened within the month. So as because of the tax bill that came in, I looked back to see I was still getting underpaid in my salary, but they honoured that. And so that is God's provision. You know, it's just stepping out sometimes when you feel a bit nervous, when fear can come upon us of what God is saying to us. It's to say, hang on a minute, what am I going to believe here? Are we going to believe on the promises that God has got for us? Or are we going to believe the circumstances that we're in? Don't abhor. Let us not abhor our circumstances, that it'll rob us of God's miracle that He's got for us, for you and for me. And you know, and that's for everybody that's in this room. I know everybody could stand up this morning and give a circumstance that they're facing at the moment. But let us not abhor our circumstances, but let us give it to God and allow Him to come in and do the miracle in our lives, that we're going to be not just a miracle in our lives, but it touched the lives of those around us. Yes. Amen. Yes. Hallelujah. Praise God.
Thank you for listening to this Kingdom Faith podcast. We trust it's been an encouragement to you. For more information and resources by Kingdom Faith and for our other audio and video podcasts, please visit kingdomfaith.com/Yorkshire.